Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Boat Trader, America's largest boating marketplace, offering easy financing and over 100,000 boat listings to choose from. Sell, find, and finance new or used boats on America's largest boating marketplace. Visit BoatTrader.com to get started.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Yeah.
And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Nah.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sir.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't just care. Don't even care just a little bit, kind of not even.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, the not so live variety from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill in beautiful southern middle Tennessee. And what's up, you bunch of low lifers? Hope you're all doing well out there. Thank you for joining me for this podcast for Monday, October. Yes, you heard me right. October the 3rd, and we done clicked by another one. And man, it felt like October around here this week. We had some nice nights in the 40s. We're getting there. We're getting to where we need to be, get them bass biting a little bit, get the deer running around, and it is certainly turning into fall. Supposed to spend the week this past week in good old Tampa, Florida for the IBEX show, International Boat Building Expo with TH Marine. And unfortunately, Hurricane Ian had other plans, and I just wanted to open the show with, I know people that have been impacted by hurricanes personally over the years, and it's never an easy situation. And this was one that it's terrible. It's terrible. The pictures, the videos, it's just awful what's going on, especially in that Fort Myers, Sanibel Island area. But really, the flooding across the entire state, like, it's bad. So I would ask, do what you can. Get online, check out. I mean, there are different people doing different things. I know Captains for Clean Water, they're doing some drop-offs down there in Florida. You can check all this out online. The W Sauce, one of our fine sponsors here, this past weekend, their sales, all proceeds went directly, because they're a Florida-based company, directly to hurricane victims there. But there are lots of different things you can do to help, and there's a lot of really good videos going around online of ways that you can help out the folks down there, because man, it's bad. So thoughts and prayers with those folks down there, and hope they can get back to some kind of normalcy sooner than later. It's certainly I'm speechless, honestly. It reminds me of Michael that came through an area that my family has loved for many years, down Mexico Beach, Port St. Joe, down where Randall Tharp, BPT Pro, lives. And man, it's just forever changed. Those storms that are that big, it's just nature rules all. Like, Mother Nature wins. Like, we think that we think we got things under control sometimes, but she can go, nah, not today. And she certainly does that every fall, it seems, and bigger and badder as the years go on, man. 2 miles an hour away from a Category 5, and crazy. So been around the house this week and getting some work done here at the bar and grill, and getting ready. My boys, it's fall break next week for them. So, or this week as you're listening to this. So we're going to Gunnersville for a couple of days to try to pull on some old bass in the Express. Finally got it rigged out. So got some time to do that this week since I was at home this past week and got a chance to finish out rigging the Express. So ready to go. But do what you can. Do what you can. If you can, you should in life. I'm a firm believer in that. And do what you can to help those folks down there. They got a long, 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 long road ahead of them in a lot of areas down there in Florida. All right. Thank y'all for tuning in. Appreciate you. I know I say that a lot, but I really do appreciate it. And I appreciate the fine sponsors that make this show possible. Gonna run them off right here. Run them off. Probably gonna run them off. Gonna give them a shout out. Give them a little shout out right here. First and foremost, StarTron, kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your chainsaw, in your weed eater, in your side-by-side, but the most important thing in your life that ethanol can mess up. I mean, I guess ethanol could technically mess up anything, but the most important thing to you is that outboard engine. It'll gum up the works. We're headed in this time of year, like I said, cooler temperatures. You're going to be thinking about deer hunting. You're going to leave that bass boat sitting in the shop a little longer than you should. If you're going to store it longer than 2 weeks without cranking it up, without running some fuel through it, StarTron in the tank. Before you store, hit it with that StarTron. Stuff's available a lot of places. No excuses. Get you some StarTron. Put it in your tank. We appreciate the folks from StarTron bringing you Low Budget Life for 5 years now. Put you some StarTron in there. Kick ethanol in the teeth. Pro Guide Batteries. Finally getting that boat rigged out. Got the Pro Guides in. Running 3 of the 12-volt lithiums for my trolling. I'm running the 31 series AGM. And same setup I ran last year for the most part. Absolutely love the batteries. I've had zero issues. You can try them for yourself at ProGuideBatteries.com. They've got some new award-winning lithium batteries on there as well. Go check them out. Code LBL10 gets you a break and lets them know that you are a low lifer. You heard it right here, and we appreciate that because all of these sponsors make all of this possible as we continue along with Low Budget Live. Baitworks.com, one of my favorite companies to work with. We got the LOB jig coming soon. We had a couple calls about it this week. Everything's coming together, design and packaging. The hooks are on the way. The skirts are on the way. And the second we get it all buttoned up, they're going to be on the website. We're going to be selling them. I get a lot of messages about that since I've made some posts, but we're gonna get them to you. Hopefully, man, I would say fingers crossed within a month, we're going to have these things rolling. I might have just got fired for saying that, but as long as everything comes together like it seems to, we're going to have them out there for you to be right in the middle of jig season, okay? But baitworks.com, I made a big order this week. They got the new Z-Man Hellraiser topwater in. It was something I've talked about on the show. I saw it at ICAST. Very interesting topwater concept. I ordered me some this week. But if you'd like to try some of those or anything else there at Baitworks, use code Duncan-10 to save you 10% and let them know you are a low lifer, and we appreciate Baitworks. Last but not least, hang that banner, baby. The Bassmaster Classic winning Express aluminum high-performance bass boat that Jason Christie runs around all over the country. 2 Elite Series wins out of that bad boy and the Classic. Bill Lowen got him an Elite Series trophy out of that thing as well. Caleb Summerall out there doing work in his nonstop on the Elite Series. High performance, 21 feet, covered in sea deck. Got the Yamaha shell on the back. Bad boy. Runs great. I'm running the new LE. Got a walkthrough video coming very soon now that I finally got the freaking thing. I got 5 minutes to rig it out. So we are done. Everything's buttoned up. Got the Garmin's on. Got Sonar Pro harness in there. And Precision Sonar mounts. Got to thank those folks for hooking me up there this year. And man, I got it out. Actually, I'm recording today on Saturday because my boys and I are actually leaving tomorrow to go to Gunnersville. So just pretend this is Monday, October 3rd, like always. And we went out and ran it this morning, fully rigged, all the tackle in. Man, I got right. It's a machine. It's a machine. So finally going to get to do some hardcore fishing out of it for the next few days. So I will report back and videos to come for sure. But Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, they've been building excitement since 1966. All right. A few things. And we got a guest today that I'm like It's probably why I'm stumbling and fumbling around. I'm actually nervy. I'm nervy because it's one of my bass fishing heroes that we're going to get to talk to today. Very excited about our guest, but lots to talk about. First and foremost, what do I got here? Yeah, fishing drama. What? It's still fishing, but some drama. The Keith Poche thing, a lot of people have tagged me up in it. I had recorded early last week before all that broke nuts and loose and whatever. All I'll say is, you know, form your own opinion, whatever. But obviously, if I'm going to make a video, I'm going to tell my side of whatever, right? Like, that's how the world works. There's something to that situation, in my opinion. I mean, he can post all the haters gonna hate videos he wants and, you know, I didn't do anything wrongs and whatever, but I don't know. I'm just saying, I think there's more to the situation. But for me, and that's between him and Hank Wilt at the end of the day. But for me, I think the biggest thing is he posts on social media, which I didn't think you could do. And reading the Bassmaster rule says you cannot participate in social media. He posts that the rocks had been placed across the ditch that he was running in or whatever. And I didn't think you could do that. Hank Weldon, tournament director, explained to the top 10 that participate meant engaging in social media. Tricky. You know, this is following a week where he disqualifies Trey for the insurance thing, but then I don't know. It's confusing for a lot of reasons, but there's a lot of talk around this situation. And I know he's done other podcasts, and he's posted videos and whatever. I like to have Keith on to talk about it, but I don't know, man. There's something to it. There's a lot of people that are upset that I know very well that seem to think there were some shenanigans at play there. But I'll give Keith this, man. I don't know Keith that well. I don't know him at all, really. And he catches them in them opens, man. He's been absolutely blasting them this year. So not trying to take anything away from him at all. I just see a lot of comments, man. He's got a lot of support from people because he's in the aluminum boat. He's fighting for the little guy kind of deal. Man, I don't know. I think you can't believe everything you see or read or whatever. And there's always two sides to every story and the truth somewhere in the middle. That's how life works. So maybe we can get Keith on and talk about it at some point. And you know, it's between, I think he got protested maybe. And I'd have to ask Hank that or Keith that. But I do believe he got protested. Somebody thought they saw him, you know, winching himself into an area to get in there, which you can't do. I don't know. By the video of him, I don't know how you would see him, to be honest, because it's like a ditch off the main river, whatever. But very interesting situation. I don't have a lot on it other than hearsay on both sides. So, you know, whatever. Maybe we can get Keith on. I haven't attempted to. I think he did BTL. I haven't listened to it. I'm pretty sure he did. He went on there with Panger and talked about it, but I haven't. I don't know. I just think that there's definitely a lot to the story on both sides. Like, somebody put rocks to keep him from running in because they were pissed that he was fixing to win the tournament because they deemed something he was doing was shady. And then he didn't get DQ'd. So they were like, I'll go dump some damn rocks in the mouth of this cut. And then the rocks got moved. I don't know. There's a lot to it. But regardless, looks like he's headed back to the Elite Series. If he keeps, we called him in the Northerns, he requalified. So looks like Bass is getting Poche back. If he so chooses, right? If he so chooses. All right, more. Here we go. Even more. So this past week, if you've noticed at all, if you've had a brain and you've been on social media, and I know you have been, because we're all addicted to it, you've probably seen a lot of the BPT guys posting polls, five fish versus every fish count. Five fish catch, weigh, release versus every fish counts. There's some changing of the tide stuff going on at the Bass Pro Tour, man, and MLF. And I just think that if first of all, if they're willing to change that to five fish and go back to five fish, even though five fish was horrible, even though they're going to do catch, weigh, release, right? Five fish were horrible. We're going to do everything. It's more exciting, yada, yada, yada. If they were to go to that, and it's very obvious those conversations are happening, and I've talked to a couple guys, and those conversations are definitely happening. It would seem to me that things aren't going well, and that you need you know, as a whole, and you're trying to bring more fans there, the ones that have just said, hell no, I'm not watching this for years. Now, I mean, we're four seasons into this or whatever at this point. But for me, man, that was just your damn, you was going to die with that, right? You were stepping on the throat of everybody that thought five fish were great. And just every fish counts as the deal. And this is what we're going to do. I applaud the willingness to change. But damn, you rode the horse for 4 years. I don't know. I think that if you are a fan and you've hated it, and there seem to be a lot of people, maybe they're just loud, you know, the ones that don't like it. But I think that you're going to watch it if it goes to five, because it's just what we've always known, right? And I never had a problem with the format. Like, I'm not good at math. So when somebody catches 72 that weigh, you know, 56 pounds, like, I can't do that math. I went to county school. Like, I can't do that math. But now you tell me you caught five for 36, like, I know what that means. And I know that's a big deal. We'll see. There's definitely, also word on the street, they're moving everything, all operations into Benton, Kentucky. No more MLF office out in Tulsa. So, which makes sense. And, you know, who needs a bunch of offices to run tournaments out of once you own, you know, one? And obviously with the bulk of the events ran out of Benton, Kentucky, it would sure make sense to just kind of be headquartered up there. That's a great area. And that's where, you know, most of the tournament directors and things are out of. So that would make sense for sure. But I don't know. That one got me this week. That was wild to see. And the guys I've talked to are like, man, I don't know. One thing about it over here is just change is inevitable. We're just going to change. There's just going to be another change. which all leaks change. You got to adapt. But I think that really something has happened, in my opinion, to make that come about, because they have been, and by they, I'm not even talking about the anglers. I'm talking about the ownership and things. They are the kings of cut off your nose to spite your face, right? So leaning on that format forever, and now being willing to, or thinking they need to change it. And I don't know if that's for the Bass Pro Tour. I don't know if that's for these team events that they're running now, you know, the cups or whatever. I don't know. The General Tire Team Series or whatever it is. Shout out General Tire. Send me some tires. I just gave you a sponsor book. I don't know. And one angler I talked to said it could be a combination. Maybe they do one event this, one event that. I don't hate that. But I think ultimately, if they do this, and I may get tomatoes thrown at me for saying this, I think it makes it very interesting. I think it makes it very interesting in the Bass versus Bass Pro Tour, the Elite Series versus Bass Pro Tour battle royale that's happening, because then it's just the same old that everybody's used to, and they're going to get some eyeballs. They're going to get some eyeballs because, like, you can love it, hate it, whatever, but there's some freaking Stone Cold Killers over there. I mean, Stone Cold Killers that you used to love watching. Be like watching your favorite cartoon every Saturday morning. Then they switch to another network and you didn't watch it because you didn't like that network. But every now and then you might peek at it. Well, cartoons may be kind of doing the same thing again. I don't know. Be interesting to see, man. It could change some things. And then I think for people that are looking to qualify through the Toyotas, Pro Circuit, whatever, if that became a thing, that it's just five fish like all the other trails, which would make sense. I don't know. I think that it definitely brings some interest to them that they may have lost because of the every fish counts format. Another thing, and we talked about it on here with Lil Alton Jones Jr., the format, guys like, now look, these guys have won at every level, so no offense, but guys like Connell and Wheeler, Justin Lucas has mastered the format. He's won in every format, just like these other guys I'm naming, but they seem to be very good at that thing. First of all, they're amazing at catching bass, but they're very good at figuring out the class bass, where they live in these lakes, and the strategy that comes in with the cuts and with this and with the that, with the every fish counts for, they're great at it. And I just think it would be very interesting to see, like, if they started doing five fish, catch, weight, release, and they did it for 3 years with the same group of guys, right? And then you went back and compared it for 3 years to the who is in the top 10 AOI. It would be fun. It'd be cool to go back and see, like, who's who, where's, you know. Obviously, Wheeler's going to be in contention no matter what they do. I'm just saying, I think that it could shake things up, man. It really could. And I think excitement level-wise, it could definitely shake things up as well. And I think that I have said the release them right there is great for the fishery, obviously. And it makes for the Texas Toyota Fest tournaments are very cool to keep up with. But my thing is, I think that BPT, if they did that, that's a step in the right direction for them, obviously. The next step would be some kind of fan interaction. They've tried some different things, but I almost think you got to go to a Texas Toyota Fest style deal where if you're on a smallmouth lake, right, up north, they're fishing Sag Bay up there, Saginaw Bay, 20-inch smallmouth, whatever the case is, right, you get to bring one in. So you utilize your live wells, fish care, yada, yada, and you get to bring them to a weigh-in. Or a celebration or whatever. But people like to see that. They like to see what's in the lakes that they live in or live around. And I think that could help them, you know, for sure. So something along those lines where you bring in a big one or whoever catches the, you know, I don't know. They put a weight minimum on it, a 5 pound plus, you know, wherever they're at, you base it off of where you're at. Like kind of like they do the minimums now for keepers, but you base it off of that, bring in a big one. I think something like that could really help them as well, and generating some kind of fan presence at those events that I really, you know, talking to other to sponsors and things, I do think they are missing that, other than what they did at Red Crest this year, where they had a pretty good crowd and they had an exciting finish there with Bobby Lane, and it was pretty cool to see how that all played out, right? But I think that at their normal events, they've got to have some kind of fan interaction activation. And I think that could definitely do it. So something along those lines. But going to be, looks like potentially some changes coming down the line. And I think that, look, I think for guys, because there are a lot of guys that are unhappy over there that I know that are just kind of, oh, what the hell's going on week in and week out? And I think that will shut a lot of them up. I really do. They got a great schedule next year. They go back to five fish and the BPTs. I think it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Something that I do not think is cool is cheaters, whether it's bass fishing, snagging them, all you snaggers out there, or just sight fishing snaggers, and or rule breakers, information cheaters, liars, and thieves, whatever. But man, in the walleye world, Jake Runyon and Chase Kaminsky, and these videos have been everywhere, but in case you were not online this weekend and not sent this by all your fishing buddies, in a Lake Erie walleye trail event, these bozos who had won several events up in that part of the world, from what I understand. They won a big event last year and failed a polygraph test, not sure on what basis, but these guys were leading the Angler of the Year race going into this event for this trail, show up at the weigh-in with 8 pounds worth of weights shoved into walleye. Wait a second, what'd you say? 8 pounds worth of lead weight. 8 pounds worth of lead weight. And they shoved walleye fillets, that filleted walleye, shoved walleye to try to soften, to put some meat around the freaking weights. These guys are next level shady. Do not deserve to ever have a fishing license again in any state. And the fact that they made it out of the parking lot is amazing to me without taking a beating. There were some pissed off guys. And all the videos I saw, one of the pictures is funny, little Chase, he's curled up in what appears to be his mommy's lap, oh, wearing his tournament jersey while the police have him there. Oh, poor Chase and Jake. Of course, all their social media is locked down now and should be, but man, they're wearing their jerseys. It's pathetic. But all cheaters are pathetic. They just are in tournament fishing. And I think that I think until somebody like this is prosecuted, and they should be to the fullest because, man, they want a lot of money. I don't know how that'll all go, but it's the same in the bass world with some of the things that have been out there, video evidence of freaking cheaters, different things over time, until people are DQ'd, until they're banned, until they're ran out of the sport, this kind of crap will continue to happen, period. End of story. So I think that there's got to be – I applaud this tournament trail. Dude, they cut the fish open right in front of all the anglers. It was wild. It's wild videos. You haven't seen it, go check it out. It's crazy. But Jake Runyon your life, and Chase Kaminsky right there. I mean, whew. It's ugly. It's ugly. I can't imagine – if you were at a 200 boat big team tournament on Pickwick and they had found this at the weigh-in in front of a bunch of dudes, I just can't imagine what would have happened, especially if it's a guy's just been beating everybody and whatever. Because that's the frustrating part, right? When you find a guy, because they're always, it seems like they're cocky and they got their sponsors and they do their deal, right? They're all over social media and they're superstars. And then when you see there's a little ding in the crown, you're like, whoa, wait a second now. So, and that was some of the people screaming in the background during this video, just like, oh my God, how long have you been doing this? It's wild, son. Wild. And they made it out. They made it out unscathed as far as I know, but whew, I'd hate to be them. I'd hate to be them. And dude, just like it's fishing, right? You either catch them or you don't. And I know there's a lot of pressure in big money events and things like that, but at the end of the day, it is freaking fishing. And not only did you ruin your tournament career, you ruined the legitimacy of anything you've ever done, if you did do it legit at all, but what you did is made it where you can never enjoy that sport again for yourself, for your family. I just don't get it. And it's the same with the guys that do bullcrap and bass fishing. It's pathetic. It's pathetic. And it's ego-driven, and it's been around a long time. But we were talking, you know, you had the Tony Christian incident years ago in FLW, but me and some buddies were talking last night. Can you imagine when that all went down, if social media had been a thing and like cell phone cameras and dude, I can't even imagine, because it just went like dust in the wind, son, when it went away. Whoo, but I can't imagine had there been Facebook then and Instagram and TikTok and Snapchat, what would have came of that situation? Oh my God, just can't even imagine. Would have been wild. Speaking of wild, I am elated. I am elated to have this gentleman on. We're going to give him a call. He is a bass fishing Hall of Famer. He is someone I have looked up to most of my life. And I was in Birmingham when he won the Bassmaster Classic in 2002, sitting up front with a good friend of mine when they pulled him through. I still remember the chills to this day, watching him win the Classic. And he's just a saint of a guy. And he's retired from the Elite Series, had some health issues, but he agreed to come on. We're going to call him right now. Ladies and gentlemen, a bass fishing legend, Jay Yellis. If Jay answers, we'll see.
Hello, Jay Yellis.
And Jay didn't answer. Jay didn't answer. So we're going to see. He was supposed to answer at 2:30 and he didn't. That's the most low budget live thing ever. I think we said 2:30. Yep. 2:30. Jay. All right. I got to ramble about something else. I did. So it's such a good intro there, guys. Such a good intro. That was the most low budget live thing of all time. So Jay had a Cast for Kids event today, and he may still be wrapping that up, but we had set a time. But Jay is, I said it a couple weeks ago, him retiring, and we had another, one of the Japanese anglers, I forget his name, called it quits on the Elite Series as well. And that's going to help guys get back in. And I know Justin Atkins is sure happy about it. But let's see if we can get Jay. We're going to call him again. We're just going to keep calling him. I'm like a bad boyfriend. Just over and over and over till I get you.
Yeah, this is Jay.
Jay Yellis, Luke Duncan, Low Budget Live. How are you, sir?
Yeah, hey, Luke, I'm good. Yeah, you caught me at a good time. I'm just driving along.
Just where are you headed in the world?
I'm headed to Tyler, Texas. Back. I was up in Texarkana this morning at one of our Cast for Kids events.
Okay, so are you mainly in Tyler now, or do you go back to the West Coast some?
I'm mostly on the West Coast. I'm just down here for about a week. We had an event in Lufkin yesterday, and then Texarkana today, and we have one in Tyler next Saturday. And so I'm just going to be – I got some family down here, going to hang out in a few days. I'm going to head up to the Hall of Fame banquet on Thursday in Springfield. But I live up in Oregon. I'm just down here for a week.
Now, how many of the Cast events are you guys running a year at this point?
Well, this year we're having 80 events around the country.
It's wow.
An all-time high. We really bounced back from COVID, and it's great. We just wide open. We had today. We had an event in Oklahoma City, one in Lubbock, one in Texarkana, one in Sam Rayburn, and one in California. So we last Saturday we had 7 events, and this time of year is our busiest time, Luke, because all the weather is so good. Of course, it's the most consistent weather of the year,
mm-hmm.
unless you're in Florida, of course.
But of course, yes.
Yeah, but everywhere else, you don't get a lot of lightning and thunder and stuff this time of year. It's pretty nice. So people like to plan the events when the weather's good for the kids, and it's a busy time. But yeah. So you're gonna do your podcast?
Yeah, we're on it right now. We're rocking and rolling, oh, man. Okay. Yeah, we're recording. I was gonna ask. What on the Cast events, explain those to the folks listening just in a nutshell, because you've been doing them for a very long time, and I've got several friends that have participated in those over the years, and they're great events, but just kind of give everybody a rundown and how they can find out more information about those.
Sure, Luke. The Cast for Kids Foundation, we put on fishing events for special needs kids, and the foundation's been around about 31 years, and I started with the foundation in 2005 as a board member, and I was for 10 years. And then the founder of Cast for Kids retired in 2014. So in 2015, I moved from being a board member to the executive director role, and I'm running it day to day. So I've been doing that for the last 8 years and fishing the Elite Series, and just been really – it's a lot doing all that. And so I just focused on fishing. I mean, running the Cast for Kids events now. So I'm retired from the Elite Series to do that. And today I was at an event in Texarkana today, and Brad Watley was there. He's an Elite Series pro, and then several other local volunteer boaters. So volunteer boaters come out and they take special needs kids from the community and their parents, sometimes their siblings, out for a morning of fishing. And then they all come in about noon, and we have a nice lunch for them. And then we have an award ceremony where we celebrate each child and show them that they're loved and valued by their community and that they matter. And they're just, they're awesome kids. We get, a lot of autistic kids, kids with Down syndrome, we get kids that are physically handicapped that are in wheelchairs, and we've had blind children come and nonverbal kids, you name it. And it's a lot of some foster kids, they're basically open to disabled or disadvantaged youth. And we have some shore events too. They're not all boating events. Some of our events, the kids just fish from shore. We had an event at Sam Rayburn this morning where they fish from shore, and they caught a bunch of fish down there. But it's mostly just, the Cast for Kids events are just all about celebrating these special needs kids and enriching their lives with a day of fishing and celebration. And it's pretty special. It's something the kids really look forward to every year.
Oh, wow.
And if you,
sure.
Yeah, so if you're, the other half of your question was how can people learn more? They can, you know, our website is castforkids.org. And then, or you've got lots of YouTube videos out there and Facebook page. We're all the time posting pictures from events, Instagram and all that. So it's really heartwarming, you know, when you're able to, you know, take a kid out that's never been fishing or seldom fishing and show them a good time, put them on some fish, cheer them on, encourage them. And it's pretty, makes for a pretty fun morning.
Yeah, for you and the child, right? Like that.
Right.
It's such an amazing experience sharing that, especially if it's someone's first time catching a fish and they never thought it was something that would be possible. I've worked a couple of events, local events, similar to your cast events, and it's a very. I encourage anybody listening to get involved. It's a great, great time and something you'll never forget for sure. And I thank you for doing that, man. That's awesome. But it does sound like you are definitely, I was going to say, what are you going to do in your retirement? But you answered that. Right?
I just decided to retire from professional bass fishing after 35 years. And you know, it's been a wonderful career, Luke, and I'm thankful for each one of those 35 years and was able to live my dream as a youngster to fish professionally, and it's been great. I still love to bass fish, but anymore I love providing an opportunity to these kids even more than fishing tournaments. So I'm just kind of focused on that now and going to try to, you know, work together with volunteers around the country to put on some more events for these kids. And that's really what we rely on, a lot of local volunteers, because the foundation has a staff of 6 people and we put on events ourselves, but to really grow, like, we have to have volunteers that just step up. And like the guy in Texarkana this morning, they brought their kids to an event several years ago in Texas and Tyler, they loved it so much that they said, hey, we want to start one of these events in our community. And so we helped them do it. And they put on a great event for some wonderful kids this morning. So
that's awesome.
But that's what it's a great program. I love doing it. And I'm going to miss being out there fishing. Especially, I'll just mainly miss all my friends that are out there. A lot of great guys on the tour, and you know how it is. And it's great camaraderie amongst fish the anglers. And
will you miss Canterbury at all? I mean, come on. Will you miss Scott?
I'll miss his grilling. That's just awesome on the grill, I can tell you that. He drinks some deer tenderloin and wrapped it with bacon and jalapenos. That was kind of his specialty. But no, we cook fish or whatever. But I've been with Scott a long time. I'll miss being around him. I won't get to see him much anymore. He'll be out there fishing and I'll be not at the tournaments, but
he'll either be fishing or at an Alabama football game. It's almost a guarantee.
One of the two.
Right?
that's right.
That's amazing. Well, I when I was introing before I called there, I said I was in the arena. This is for me. And I text you, being honored for you to come on whenever we were setting this up, and it is. So I want to thank you for coming on. You were always a guy that I looked up to very much as a young man. And then as I got to know you a little bit, fishing against you on the FLW tour and things, you were just always such a gentleman and so kind. And but I was in the Birmingham, I was in the arena there when you won in 2002, and I was on the front row with a good friend of mine, and I was 19 years old.
No way.
I was, and I had just signed up for the Opens. There was no college fishing or anything like that, and the first Open season was coming up that I had signed up for, and I'll never forget that moment, man. Them pulling you in, and I'm a river rat, you know, Tennessee river rat, not so much Coosa,
right?
Fished a Coosa a good bit, but the fact that you were below a dam. Just, you were my guy. I'd grown up that way, man. And that classic is always one that I'll just never forget.
That is a fun way to fish, isn't it? I love fishing current for, you know, shallow rivers and stuff. It's just my favorite way to catch bass. And they're right up there on the bank. And current breaks.
That's right.
Stuff. And yeah, and so yeah, that was one of the highlights of my whole career. That 35 years, that one tournament there in Logan. Well, no, we were at Lay Lake.
Lay Lake.
I was fishing right below Logan Martin mm-hmm. Dam at the upper end of Lay Lake, and now, yeah, it's a good memory.
The same year though, you won the FLW Angler of the Year as well, right? You won Angler of the Year.
Yeah,
and FLW.
I did,
was that
yeah.
the Wheaties box year?
Cornflakes.
Box. That's right.
Yeah. That was a great. That was a great year.
And then you won AOI with on the Bassmaster side in 2003. That was
yeah.
There was a lot of great years.
Fishing is funny how you can get on a hot streak like that.
Amazing.
Things just go your way for a year or two, and it's like you can't do nothing wrong, and then it doesn't stay that way forever. But you're just thankful for those runs that you do have. Because it's hard, you don't appreciate it till you're later in life, and you're grinding out there, not catching them, and you're like, man, how come this isn't easy anymore? It used to be so easy.
That's something that I wanted to ask you, just in this amazing career that you've had, all the changes that we've seen, and I'm not just talking about organizational changes, all the things that are well publicized, but we've got electronics changes, different things. What do you think, Jay? What's the most amazing thing to you or change development that we've seen that we are now utilizing versus when you first started? To you,
oh,
if there's just one thing that jumps out at you.
It's probably going to, like everybody would say, it's the forward-facing sonar and the Garmin LiveScope and all that. It's just – that's – not it doesn't apply to every tournament or every fishery, but boy, when it's the deal, it is the deal. Mm-hmm. And you just can't, if you can't really compete with guys that are really fluent with that technology. And so that, but thankfully it does draw a lot of guys off the bank, and for the shallow water guys, they don't have as much pressure up shallow as they used to, because everybody's out in the middle of the lake looking at their livestock.
Looking down.
but you can't, it's hard to beat those guys up shallow. You know, mm-hmm. they're on the right rate of fish out in the deep water. And it's just, that's been the biggest change. There's been a lot of changes in the sport. You know, I think the fish have even changed a little bit because of all the pressure.
Yes.
There's way more pressure now. That'd probably be my number two comment, would be the between all the high school college fishing tournaments and all the other adult tournament trails, our fisheries get more pressure today than they've ever got. Mm-hmm. So those fish, you know, they're catch and release. Most tournament anglers catch and release, so the fish are still there. A lot of our fisheries have more fish than they've ever had, but they're so educated that all the fish have been caught multiple times mm-hmm. in their lifetime. And so they're still biting. You can still get them, but you just don't get a lot of bites in a day on a heavily pressured lake like Gunnersville. You're going to get like seven or eight bites a day, and they're going to be pretty good ones. But you better execute on those, because you're not going to get 20 or 30 bites, you know, most days in a tournament on these heavily pressured lakes. So it wasn't that way when I started in the late 80s and the 90s, and you know, even the 2000s. I've just seen a lot of change that way from fishing pressure, and it's. We saw, you know, we had that season where the Alabama rig was legal mm-hmm. and how lethal that was on these fish, just because it was a new way to fool a fish that had been caught 10 times on a single lure, but now that's been outlawed. But that speaks to the fishing pressure element that we're dealing with and how that's changed our fisheries a good bit. But thankfully, guys, they catch and they take good care of them in their live wells and let them go, and they're still in there and they're spawning, and there's a lot of fish in our lakes. The fishing's, you know, the fishing's good. It just, and that's why you see the weights are still strong. Most places we go, their fish are still there. You just don't catch quite as many as you did back in the day.
Yeah. I think that is, you can definitely make a statement to me that our fisheries are healthier than they've ever been, but fishing pressure certainly, you know, kind of puts its foot on the brake a little bit as far as how many bites you're getting. You know, I can remember the heydays on Guntersville and Pickwick, and man, you could truly catch over 50 bass to 100 bass. You know what I mean? Just these crazy, sure, crazy days. And now a banner day. You might get one day a year where you get some significant numbers. And other than that, it's just kind of hunting and pecking around. And like you said, 7 to 8 bites, and you better land them because right. You're not going to get another chance.
Yeah, but it's still fun. You know, so that competition fun. It's still fun trying to figure out how to get those, and it keeps you focused all day because, you know, you can't afford to miss them. You're not going to get, you know, a lot of fish in a day. So there's always a few days each year, like you said, when the weather conditions line up and the fish are just feeding like crazy. Mm-hmm. We're on all these lakes, so you can go out and catch several dozen bass. But those days, you can count them on one hand pretty
you can,
much.
You can. It's amazing. Yeah. Do you think with these, talking about these guys in the middle of the lake, because that's a constant topic of conversation now, do you think those fish were always there and we just didn't have the technology?
Yeah, I think we just never fished for them. That's just, you know, our lakes are full of bass, but we didn't ever fish for them when they were out there suspended mm-hmm. in the middle of the lake. And that's where especially the bigger fish spend most of their life out there. They're not up on the bank except for maybe the spring and the fall. Mm-hmm. And most, you know, it's a general rule on a reservoir, a river is a totally different situation, but I think even in rivers, the fish will get out in the river and suspend and not, you know, not be up on the bank a lot of the times. But it's just opened a new frontier, you know, with that live scope. It's like you can just go around looking for them in the middle of the lake. Guys will track, they'll find one big fish and they'll just chase it all day till they catch it.
It's incredible. I had a friend of mine at Lake Fork was telling me a story. He caught an 11 pounder earlier this year and he said he chased this fish for 4 hours. And he told me the story and he's like, she would come up on my jerkbait and then she would go back to a stump. And then she would come up on my jerkbait and go back. And he said, this just went over and over and over and over and over. And then all of a sudden she bit. And I'm like, man, this is such a, so it's like the Wild West right now. And what we're learning about
it is,
was it something that you had adopted, before you decided, you know,
no,
I know you've had some, were you still trying to do the same thing that made you famous? Like,
that's hard,
and spinnerbait fisherman.
Yeah. I had a live scope on my boat and all the great latest and greatest Garmin electronics on my boat. And I would absolutely use those and they would help me, but I was not, that was not my A game. When I'd go to a lake, I wouldn't go out and practice like a lot of these young guys do, just going out. They don't even cast. They just, mm-hmm. they just troll around the lake looking at their screen, looking for fish as a sight fisherman would in the springtime. Yep. They would just troll around wide open on their electric motor looking for bedding fish. These guys are doing that in the middle of the lake, looking for fish on trees and or suspended or whatever points. And I learned how to fish by actually casting and working a bait and getting bites. That's how I learned how to find fish. And I primarily fish in shallow water and tournaments, even though I know how to catch them deep. I just don't like fishing in those huge crowds that get out mm-hmm. out offshore. And so I would use it as a tool, and it has helped me in some tournaments, but it was not something that I went out looking for. And I used it a lot very helpful to find bait fish.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of shallow, you go back, you know, in certain times of year when the bait fish aren't flipping on the surface, you know, when it's colder, you can see all the bait fish up in, you know, in that perspective mode up in the mm-hmm. shallow, you know, you go to the back of a little shallow muddy creek that's 5 feet deep. And some places would just be alive with fish swimming all over the place. Mm-hmm. And those are the places you wanted to fish, but that wasn't targeting individual fish as much as it was, you know, finding bait fish
right.
that you would never see with traditional sonar and shallow, dirty water creeks and stuff. But but yeah, it's sure fun to use when you're out on the Great Lakes smallmouth fishing and stuff, and I used it in tournaments in those situations and some others. It's but yeah, it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks, you know, when you have a when you do it for 25 years, probably 27, 28 years, I fished competitively before forward-facing sonar came out. So I, you know, you get pretty good at a certain strategy and an approach to it.
Yeah, your practice, your events. Like
it's
you
hard know, to just throw all that away and just start all over. So I never did do that. I found myself the last later years in my career gravitating towards looking for shallow fish that everybody else was overlooking and that you could have a lot less pressure on. And I had a lot of fun doing that, but it's really hard to win doing that most of the time. So it's, that's kind of how the last 7-8 years had played out for me. And you'd find them up there sometimes, but there'd always be somebody that would find them out there deep. I remember one tournament at Lake Fork, Patrick Walters won it. Remember that one 2 or 3 years ago in like November, and I finished third there, catching him on a spinner bait and square bills and jigs up in the river part of Lake Fork. But I was like 20 pounds or 30 pounds behind Patrick Walters, who blew it away live scoping him off standing timber suspended and on a jerk bait. So yeah, it's just that's the deal. And if I was a young angler learning how to tournament fish, there's no doubt you better get really, really good with that live scope. You need to or whatever product you're using, you know, they all have it. But so all the electronics, I know some of the guys like Jacob Wheeler he's got Garmin.
Got everything. Yeah.
he's got everything, every tool at his disposal on his boat. And that's kind of how a young up and coming guy would want to be. You'd want to be fluent with that stuff.
With everything.
That's the new, it's the new frontier. You got to live on that cutting edge in bass fishing and all this, the new technologies that come out and always keep an eye out for new baits and techniques, even though they don't come along, but every like once or a decade or something, but every now and then something comes out that's really game changer.
Yeah. For sure. And you're right. We've seen, and they become their own category when they come out, it seems, you know, like the chatterbait or the Cinco or the Whopper Plopper, you know, when that thing came out, much like a buzzbait or a spinnerbait back in the day. I mean, there are, you know, once they happen, they're magic. And you're right. We don't see that near enough these days. A lot of copycatting kind of stuff and not a lot of innovation, but there'll be something else. There's always the next.
That's the way it is in all walks of life. There's always something new coming along. Even if you can't imagine what it could be, it'll be coming. And just get ready. And I remember when the Bass Tricks came out like in 07, and I got on that bandwagon really early, and I threw it everywhere we went with FLW that year, and I got Angler of the Year. I caught like almost all my fish on a bastard swim bait. I couldn't believe it. I haven't caught nothing on that in years now. I mean, you'll still catch fish, but it was like magic back then. You throw it, the fish had never seen it, and that was the deal.
Unbelievable.
And we'd go to lakes, and you'd throw it down the side of a dock, and everything under the dock would come out and follow it. Bass, bluegill, crappie,
unbelievable,
catfish. It was unbelievable. It was just crazy. It was really hard to get them then, too. You had to call this tackle shop in California and order overnight like every other day. It was just – it was nuts. But that's an example of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
New bait. It could be a new technique, or it could be a new bait, or new electronics technology. But there's always something new, and we don't know what it's going to be the next thing. But you got to be ready for it. And there's a lot of things that come out that are junk. Not everything.
That's right.
A game changer. So you got to be able to weed through the junk and what's really the real deal.
You got to be unafraid to swipe your credit card and buy some junk along the way, because you never know where there might be little gem in there. But I get in trouble with my wife for all of the junk that I buy that just turns to junk, because anytime stuff pops up, I'm like, I gotta give that a try. Especially top water. I'm obsessed with top waters. Some of the Japanese stuff. Yeah, I'm all about different shapes and size, and anything that pops up online, I'm like, oh, I gotta try this. Is it true with the, so I had heard this story, but you would, during that Angler of the Year run with that Bastrix, you were staying with Canterbury, I believe, or you and Canterbury were just buddies, but he was getting those from you at the same time. And my buddy Brad Knight, that ended up winning the Forestwood Cup, Brad's obsessed with swim baits to this day, but he said the first swim bait that he had ever seen was a used Bastrix, and Canterbury gave him one, and either you had used it or Canterbury had used it, and Brad won a local event on it on Lake Cherokee, and he said him and his buddy glued that thing and used a cigarette lighter to put it, this one, back together so many times.
That's probably true. They were so hard to get. I mean, you just couldn't get them, you know. And amazing. I had a connection at California that I was able to get them from, but it was, most guys couldn't get them. And that was the other thing that was an advantage. I mean, you had this great hot lure and people couldn't get it.
Amazing.
And then you go back to those lakes the next year or the year after, and in practice you'd go around fishing and every local boat would be throwing it, you know. It was like, well, that's over with.
You don't even get it out of the rod locker then. You're like,
I know. But yeah, Scott, I'm sure there's some truth to that. Scott started his career in 08 and 07 07's the year I got the swim bait angler of the year title. And so in 08, that was all the rage. Everybody was getting their hands on those swim baits. And now there's other swim baits. People seem to throw more. You don't hear much about that lure anymore.
It went away for a while, and then I think they're back in business, though. I think they got bought out or something. But, no, you're right. It was on Pickwick. It was the rage. On Gunnersville, out deep, I mean, it was the only thing anybody threw for a very long time. Several others have came and gone as well since then. But it was magic back in those days, man. But to hear that, that made me smile hearing you say, I just threw it everywhere we went. One angler of the year, no big deal.
The only place I couldn't catch one on it was on the Potomac River.
Really?
They would bite everything in my tackle box but the Bastrix swim bait. And so I caught them flipping or swimming a jig. I don't remember what I was doing there. But yeah, it was
interesting.
But like, I remember we went to Beaver and Lake Norman and some other fisheries that year they would just bite it like crazy. Anyway, it was fun.
That's
awesome. Good memory.
That's amazing. So what if you had to pick, and I'm no Bassmaster, I'll take the Bassmaster Classic out of this. What is the most special tournament to you from your career?
Oh, the most special tournament. That's a good question. if I could just pick one, gosh, I think it might be most. You'd have to have some real old listeners to remember this one, but I'm going to throw it all the way back to 1995. And back then Bass had what they called their Superstars tournament.
Mm-hmm.
They had it only 3 years. They had it 93, 94 and 95. And I won it in 95, and they had a big indoor arena weigh in, just like the Classic. It was like a second Classic back then. Uh-huh. And that was, you know, I was a youngster. I had just only been fishing with Bass. I started with Bass in 89, so I'd only been doing it for 5 or 6 years. And I got an invite to that because the only reason I was in the tournament was because the Classic champion the former year was Brian Kershaw, and he had died in that plane crash.
Wow.
And otherwise, I would have never been in the tournament. And Brian is... He was an awesome, I got an awesome young man. And I thought the world of him, and that was such a tragedy. And we've never had a tragedy like that since, thank God. But the qualification process was for the Classic champs and Angler of the Years or whatever. And I can't remember the rest of it. Might have been off to like all-time winnings or something. I don't recall exactly, but because he wasn't in it, they had to get one extra guy, and I was the first man out of their qualification process. So I got to fish it, and I ended up winning it. It was on the Illinois River.
I was going
to
say, Illinois. Yeah, Illinois River, yeah.
That was my first big win, you know, and back in 95. And that back then, you know, it was just the spinnerbait tournament. The river was flooded and high, but I know my family was there, and it was just a really special event for me. First big win, you might say, on the national stage. So I really have great memory. Remember after the tournament was over, they had a dinner that night for all the competitors and their families and the local dignitaries and the mayor of Peoria, Illinois was there because he was one of the hosts of the tournament. He was so moved by something that I said at the weigh-in that he sang a song to me or to the whole crowd at the awards dinner. And he was inspired to sing that song by something that I'd done that week. I don't remember what it was. Oh, it was so funny. So the mayor's up there behind this podium
singing
in front of this black tie banquet, singing a song. And anyway, it was just
incredible.
It was a cool deal. It was a great, that's a great memory. Back in 1995. Sound like an old man.
I watched that one I watched Bob Cobb talk about that one on TNN. Trust me, I had that one recorded on a VHS tape at my mom and dad's house. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember that one.
That was just a kid back then. It was some good times in the 90s. A totally different game than it is today.
That's a fact.
That's for sure.
That is a fact. It is. It's incredible how much things have changed. But one thing that hasn't changed, Jay Ellis, you are a class act, and I cannot thank you enough for taking time to talk to me on here, man. It's been a pleasure, and it's been an honor. And I wish you luck with everything. And you let me know if you ever need any help with a cast event. I would love to help.
Yeah, that'd be great, Luke. That sounds good. Where are you living these days?
I'm in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. I'm an hour south of Nashville and right north of Muscle Shoals, Alabama. So down on Pickwick.
Yeah.
Ever down this way.
Down on Pickwick. Yeah, we have an event coming up next Saturday at Gunnersville. It's probably not too far from
Yeah, a couple hours away, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of our big showcase events each year. It's got a lot of well attended and a lot of great people in that town, and we have it every year and the kids just love it. So, but anyway, we're trying to get one going on Pickwick too. I'll let you know if we do, that'll be even closer to you.
Please do.
Yeah.
I would appreciate
it. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thank you for everything in the sport, Jay. You're the man.
All right, man.
Thank you,
Jay.
Anytime.
Have a great day.
You too. Jay Ellis right there. And look at this. It doesn't get any more low budget than your mic stand. Literally. It just fell off. I know y'all give me heck in the comments about me messing with this all the time, but it falls off constantly. I don't know. Screw it. We'll just lay it down. We'll just do it like this. We'll close the show like this. That interview brought to you by the W Sauce, the juice there. America's Worcestershire sauce. We just call it the W Sauce. We got the Fire Shire and the W Sauce bringing you all the goods. Look at this. They need to bring me a new mic stand. I don't know what happened. Oh, well, we'll figure it out after the show. Thank you guys so much for listening each and every week. I appreciate each and every one of you. Going to take you out with some Biloxi Blues. And I'll see y'all next week.
Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm going to leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.